Well, we have, talking about receiving the power of God, and this is going to seem a little different this morning. And I mean, I didn't plan it. Actually, I decided Wanda and I are going to be leaving today this afternoon. We're going to be doing some driving, and generally, I like to drive overnight. I like nighttime driving. You don't have all the other traffic out there, and I don't mind that. But I thought, I was going to get to bed a little earlier last night. I thought I'd get a little more sleep, and God had another plan about that. So this morning I woke up 4 o'clock this morning. I was awakened on my cell phone. When a text comes in, mine does a knock knock. It goes knock knock, and you hear a knock knock, and that's my thing on there. And I know I got a text. And but this morning I heard a knock-knock, but I knew before I even opened my eyes it wasn't my phone, and I knew somebody wasn't at the door, knocking on a door or anything. There was just a difference in the sound of it. And I heard it, and that's what awakened me. And I woke up, and I thought, okay, what's this? What's going on? So I just laid there a while, and I just started, I just turned to the inside, First, I went and thought, oh, man, I ought to get some sleep. And I thought, no, there's something going on here. There's something happening. And so I just, I think one of the reasons that sometimes God gets me awake at night usually it's like toward the morning time, but very early morning, he does that, is because, and you need to learn this with yourself. You got to learn to get quiet. I think some people never get quiet even when they're asleep. They're going to town. I personally, people have, dreams and all these dreams and tell. I mean, Wanda has dreams and she'll tell me crazy stuff. The craziest dream I dreamed this. I don't have any memorable dreams. I just, I go to sleep and I'm, sawing off the seas. And if I have anything dreamed, there's usually not anything of, that, worth talking about or even. And I think one of the things is when you get quiet, you have to get your mind and everything quiet. This is one of the things is actually getting rested. I think lots of times what happens when I get quiet on the outside, the outer man is very quiet. My inner man can get pretty loud on the inside of me. My inner man can get going, and God can get it going. And lots of times this happens to me. Maybe some people have other times that they do, but lots of times it's me. And so I heard this knock knock, and so I wanted to know what was going on. And so I just was spending a little time there praying. And I wasn't going to go. I was going to share. Maybe I thought, well, if the Lord wants me to share something about that with communion, because it deals with communion. And so I was down here, and then again, that's one of the things. See, getting over in worship. I've learned this over the years. I can worship and I cannot pay attention to anything else. When I worship, God is the scripture tells us, Jesus spoke specifically to the woman at the well in Samaria and said, God's seeking those who worship him in spirit and in truth. People, the average Christian very seldom worships God out of their spirit. Mostly it's their mind. And you got to learn to operate out of your spirit. That's one of the things that when I worship out of my heart. And lots of times when I do that down here, I'm doing that. God tells me what he wants to do in the service. You got to learn to operate out of the inner. Worship God is out of the inner man. It's not out of your head. Just that, we can quote those, verses on there. But is that what's in your heart? You can do from your head, and your heart's thinking about, the problem you had this week, and you're over there more concentrated on all kinds of things and stuff, which has happened, rather than listening on the inside where God's at. But anyhow, when I was trying to mind my own business this morning, but God had things he wanted to say. But there was a part of a scripture from 1 John that he spoke to me, and he kept over with this scripture. And this scripture kept coming up over and over. And I don't know, maybe you're faster to catch on. Sometimes I'm a bit slow. God has to say things number of times to all I think, oh, he's talking to me. And anyhow, it's verse 3, but it's the latter part of the verse he kept quoting to me. which says this, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And he kept saying that over and over again concerning fellowship. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. That's 1 John, the first chapter, verse 3. 1 John. That's not Big John. Big John's the Gospel of John. This is 1 John. This is one of the little Johns. And, truly our fellowship. If we would read into the whole thing, he's giving a revelation, and the whole thing of what he is talking about here is John is talking to about fellowship with God, and this is the whole thing dealing with the confession of our sin and everything. It deals with fellowship. We use the term when we have communion, we use the term communion. But actually, you know, over time, I've often thought about this. It's really not a good term for us to use today because we don't use that term. And most people, when they think of communion, they think of just this religious thing, but that's not what it's about. Communion, what we call communion, is specifically designated for this. It's a reminder of who and what and why, what we're fellowshipping with. What are we fellowshipping with? See, we can do the communion table, but never really fellowship with God. Never really spend time and fellowship. It's one of the things that the Lord began to speak to me about was the fact of dealing with fellowship. The church world today as a whole, I'm not talking about everybody, but the church world as a whole today does very little fellowship with God, and it's not set up to do it. Most churches, and even what we call good churches, are established and set up for the fellowship of the people. It's not for the fellowship of God. It's for the fellowship of people. And this is one thing, we're dealing with the power of God. Talk about receiving the power of God. You will not have manifestations of power when most of what's going on has to do with the people rather than God. You won't have much. You know, there's nothing rather with having fellowship things where people do things and stuff. But the church world today is set up with this. I remember back years ago, when I was in working in the youth ministry, there's one thing that, you know, the Lord taught me about, and I found out about youth ministry. Youth ministry is mostly, in most churches and most spirit-filled churchly, is mostly fleshly. It's all mostly flesh. That's what it is. It's flesh. But people like their kids to have that. That's what they want. They want flesh ministry. They want their kids entertained. Now, I want you to think about this. Now, I grew up in churches, they didn't have youth groups. They had like Sunday school classes where you were broken up and things like that. We didn't have youth groups. And when you had a church service, everybody was in the same church, no matter whether their age was in the church. They didn't have nurseries, so they didn't have that, the move of God. And we never had commotions or problems. I wonder why. Well, it's one of the things why. And I'm not pointing the finger at any person, but it's by the way the church teaches. There's very little spirituality. We expect, and we don't, well, you know, it's what we expect. Mond and I raised our kids. We raised our daughters from the time they were just real little. They could go into church service and sit down. They could just go and sit down, and we could have, and they didn't make big commotions. And it was because, you know, things that we understood spiritually and other things that we understood is number one, I've learned this over the years. Your kid is going to act the way that they when they go away, like they act at home. That's what they're going to do. That's just the way it is. You can say, see, most people have this idea. We're going to have this way we act or live at home, but we have another way we act when we go away. That never happens. It's at both places. See, I was raised that, you know, at home, we had conduct that you weren't allowed to do. And when you went to church, you didn't do that either. But you at home wasn't a free-for-all, you know. At home, you didn't jump around on the furniture and you didn't do all that kind of stuff. You didn't do those things at home. So you went to church, you didn't jump all over the place and do all kinds of things because you were that at a church. That's where they trained us, you know. And you guys have heard me talk about our military. When I was in the military, what they did is in their training, they trained us as a military. This is one of the things that has a very hard time for sometimes the people in the military, because you're trained so much in your conduct a certain way. When you get out in society, and society is untrained, you have a hard time, because you're living in with all these untrained people. People who can't control their emotions. People who can't and don't even try to control their emotions, you know. They want to tell you how emotionally they feel. They want to tell you all that stuff. They want to do all those things, and it makes it very difficult. So it's hard to do. And whether we like it or not, the Lord was speaking to me this morning, and when he was talking about fellowship with him, we don't take the time, because it does take discipline to do that. It takes discipline, which is not in the church generally today. Most Christians are very undisciplined. We have a lot of good things, you know. It's like with myself, I had to learn myself. I was taught, you know, concerning work and working, you know, and stuff, which is really it's a very good thing to do. But, you know, you can go overboard in that, where you're always working all the time and you're always doing these things and you're always doing stuff, but you're never really spending time. People don't spend time with their families. You know, one of the things the Lord spoke to me while I was standing down here, and he wanted me to bring it up because I find it very interesting. When I was young, and he reminded me back when I was young and in the church world, you know, we had this thing back then on Sundays. There was a Sunday morning and a Sunday night service. And he said, people at one time, it was a very important thing to fellowship with God. And he said, today, and he said, this, the reason, and you go to most of the churches that ended, they say people wouldn't come to the Sunday night church, the services. It was because a lot of them said people needed to spend more family time. Well, they never spent more family time. They just followed their flesh more. That's all they did. And society, it has shown up in society. It has shown up. You know, if I would go back, and I like with Mike and I could sit, when we look back when we came into the kingdom, how much time that we spent with fellowship with God and in services, listening to teaching and doing things like that, which is not done even 10% of what they were doing back then. The average Christian don't spend 10% of what we did back then. And it shows. And look, I'm not criticizing. We need to deal with it. You know, I'm sorry, but God talked to me about it. Now I got to talk to you about it. Dear Lord. But folks, we're talking about the power of God. Everybody wants the power of God, but it requires things to have the power of God. You've got to be a vessel that can handle power. It's number one, as we're dealing in the areas of fellowship. Fellowship, and understand this. Now, he's talking about fellowship with God the Father, and fellowship with Jesus Christ. We need to understand, what does it mean, fellowship? Most people don't even hardly know what fellowship is. You know, it's one of the things, like we had the guys, you know, we got together for breakfast. One of the things is we did, you take that time and sitting down talking to each other, you get to know things about each other or know what each other's doing and that kind of stuff. There's no other way. You can't get to know God any other way, just like I couldn't get to know Conrad any other way than if I sat and talked to him. If I sit and spend time fellowship, there's no, you know, Conrad maybe write a book or something, and write a book here and send it over to Ed. Maybe Ed will read it. Well, it is a whole other thing to spend personal fellowship with God. Most Christians, they don't ever have fellowship with God. They just read the book. See, God wakes me up 4 o'clock in the morning. I want to sleep, and he wants a fellowship. He wants to talk to me about what's on his heart. Because I've been spending my time what's on my heart. And he would like to say to Ed what's on his heart. And it's a failure. It's a two-way communication. Most Christians will live and die with hardly any communication with God. It's only always one way. It's talking to God about what they want. It's after what they want. It's what they're doing all the time. It's making their quotes and their things. But God not talking back. And God wants to fellowship. You know, we have a living God. We sing, you know, that God is here. He wants to talk. You know, he said to me, you know, over a month ago, he said, will you move over and let me get in the pulpit? I said, maybe they won't like that. I've learned this over the years. The average Christian don't like to hear from God. They like their religious stuff taught like they like to hear it. I've been there, folks, where I didn't really like what was said. If you ain't been there, you're backslid. I don't, sometimes God says what you don't want to hear. You know, so God wanted to talk to me about fellowship this morning, and he wants to fellowship. But this is what he said to me after I was meditating on that from 4 o'clock. I get up at 5:30, so for an hour and a half, I'm laying in bed, and I'm praying in other tongues and listening on the inside what he wants to say to me. And then I get up, and he still wants to talk. He's still having discussion. But he wants to talk about things. But we need to understand about this. He said, fellowship with me is the major problem in the church today. He said, it's the major problem. He said, when it goes to everything else and how it operates and works. You see, it's like knowing somebody. Like if you take a relationship, if you're married, if you have any kind of fellowship with each other, you know each other over time, you know. I mean, there's things that Wanda and I know each other so well over. Well, you don't get that. You know, you first year of marriage, you don't have that. The first year of marriage, you're still in shock that why did I marry this person? I thought they were this, and they got married and they changed. What's going on here with this? Who is this person I'm laying in bed beside? Jesus, take them away. Could you rapture them today? Like Lynette Hagin was asked, did you ever think about divorce? She said, no, murder, but I never thought about divorce. Darlene's watch it, Mike, watch it. We've all been there, haven't we? Going to strike them with lightning today, Lord? You know, just do something. But it's over time and fellowship. And the Lord has been dealing with me about that this morning, about this fellowship thing, because people spent more time in fellowship and they're not doing that. And in fellowship, you can't do without communication. Fellowship deals with this. We're talking about things you have in common. What do you have in common with God? See, it's one of the things is communion's about something we have in common. But yet most of the church takes communion, and they don't even really, that isn't what it's about. You know, just, oh, wow, look what he did. But this is about what we have in common. God took on flesh, and he did this so I can be one with him. See, if people lose that idea of our oneness with God, we're trying. It's just like, you know, it's like dealing with love. You know, I never met a person who doesn't have, and there is a love that you need to have for yourself. You have to. If you don't understand love and have a love and a care for yourself, you are never going to love other people. You know, the scripture tells us concerning a man and his wife, it said how he cherishes his own flesh, and he's supposed to cherish his wife in the same way he cherishes his own flesh. In other words, it wasn't wrong for him. You ought to take care of your flesh. If you don't, you're going to have some major problems in life. And he said, so in the same manner, he's supposed to cherish and take care of his wife in the same manner that he would take care of his own flesh to do it. In other words, take care of yourself. In other words, to somebody else. In other words, the way he conducts and does with himself is to take care of, which he should, in the manner he should be taking care of his wife. In other words, if he don't take care of himself, he ain't going to be taking care of her either. And this is with a lot of people. A lot of people are trying to walk in love, and they don't really have a fellowship with God. They don't know how God loves. They don't know how God loves them. They don't really have a clue. You're never going to love people further than you're loved. You know, it's amazing. I mean, we look down. One of the things I learned from Kenneth Hagin is 1 Corinthians 13 chapter talks about the love. And you're dealing in the areas of love is one of the things that Kenneth Hagin, I remember years when I was a young Christian, said, you know, it says, you know, because dealing is God is love. And he said about when you read that, he said, you need to read that with the idea that's how God loves you, because he's not asking you to love somebody else different than he loves you. And he said, you know, I remember him saying this, you're never going to love people till you know how God loves you. Well, you're going to have to come into fellowship with God to find out what he is. What's his character? What's he going to do? you know, all I ever heard, you know, in church was you never know what God's going to do. And I found this out. Those people who said that were never in fellowship with God. They never knew Him. You never know what God's going to do. Fellowship brings you the place of unity and the place that you're walking with a person that you know the things they like and don't like. You can't have a unity without thinking the same way and believing the same things. There's no unity. That's why the church world today has no unity, because people are just, you just believe it your way and you just do it your way. There's no unity. There can't be. There can't be any fellowship. You know, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, somebody can come to this church and don't believe in it, but they ain't going to push their doctrine here. I ain't fellowshipping with that. Now, I'll fellowship with them on the basis of being born again and a child of God, but we have a place of fellowship that we believe here, that things that hold us together with God because of His revelation and what He bought. See, this idea that we're just going to bring everybody into unity, good luck. Go just get down to the bar and drink. You do be better off and probably come up with better ideas. Because it's insanity. It's all based on the fact of fellowship, but it starts with this, knowing God. You got to know Him, not know about Him. He's alive. You know, I thought about that knock-knock thing He did, and I thought, first thing that came to me is about the church at Laodicea. Jesus is standing at the door knocking, and I thought, He's trying to wake Ed up. It's like, excuse me, Lord, I'm sorry. you had a knock to get at my attention. Like He was trying to probably tell me that this week, and I bypassed it, and so He got to get a little loud on Sunday morning to get it. I know you ain't ever been there. Nah, you catch it right away. You're so spiritual. But see, we've got to get over these areas. Really, is getting ourselves into fellowship with God. You know, there's a scripture, another scripture that came to me, and I know it's here somewhere. No, I got it. You know, a lot of times we sing songs about the faithfulness and the faithfulness of God and things. But listen with this. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, in verse 9 says, it starts off, God is faithful. People say, yeah, God is faithful. By whom you were called. Faithful God called you. What did He call you to? This whole thing. Into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He called you into a fellowship. In other words, He called you to fellowship with Him. It's what our calling. We're called to fellowship with God. We're called to it. We're called to fellowship. I ain't always been that faithful. He's been faithful the whole time. He's been wanting to fellowship, but I always wasn't taking the time to fellowship, you know. He wanted to fellowship at 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, this, I want you to understand this. I think sometimes God does these things to us, like He wakes me up at 4 o'clock in the morning when I want to be sleeping because I'm going to be doing something. But you know what? If at 4 o'clock in the morning, if I'm in dear and have really a problem and need help, 4 in the morning, I don't mind calling on Him. See, this is most Christians. They want to call on God at an opportune time, but they don't want Him calling on them at inopportune times. See, this is what, and I'm speaking for myself, folks, this is what breaks fellowship. See, if my wife can't count on me when she needs help, we're going to break fellowship. If I have to always sing an opportune time and then I can respond. See, there's a thing of fellowship, you know, and I've learned over time, you know, if something comes up and happens concerning my wife and she needs help, everything comes to a stop. I don't care what you're doing and what you need. I don't care. She'll come first. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. But see, we don't do that with God. We'll put Cousin Harry, our own kids, and everything else right in front, and everything, you know, what people want to do and things. And see, we have a society today that is taught in really, we're a very casual society. All told, we're very casual. A lot of playtime. We love play. And there's nothing wrong with playtime. Playtime can be very good. I mean, it is. There's nothing wrong with it. But our whole society is built around it. You know, we have, you know, people today say that, well, you know, I hear people complain about their kids, you know, can't, you know, not enough tension. They have a little attention span. That's our fault, you know, because we do everything to entertain them all the time, you know. You know, I've thought about it. The Lord spoke this to me about this week. He was speaking to me about why we're having problems in this area. And he said, well, you know, when you turn around and you take children and you're always doing something with them to entertain and you got all these things you got to do all the time to keep them entertained and all that stuff. He said, they're not going to have attention span. He said, you wonder why they always need something right away and they have to have it? He said, they've been trained that way. You know, he said, he reminded me when I was young, he said, when you were young, there were certain times that you went and did certain things that were fun to do. Like, I remember when I was a kid, like going to Hershey Park, you know. That was like a once a year thing, you know, and that stuff. And now people live there. I think they got apartments right in the park. I don't know. But people live. You know what? That becomes such a natural thing for kids to be entertained all the time doing that, that is nothing special at all anymore. And they constantly need more, something greater, and always need something greater to be entertained more, because there's 40 other things that they also have. They're always entertained with all the time. And the adults are the same way. We have the things that we're entertained with and we do all the time. And nothing's how, you know, we're always trying to find something to entertain in between there. So what happens is after a while, you need something more and more extreme to entertain you, you know. Like people running around the United States just to ride every roller coaster that gives them a thrill. And after a while, we just got to find a greater thrill. There's not a big enough thrill. If they went once a year and rode on some roller coaster somewhere, like we used to do with the Comet, once a year and rode on it, seemed pretty thrilling each time. But when you've been on it 400 times, it's like after a while, you can go to sleep on that thing. You know, it's like you get on that thing now, it's like, oh, it's okay, we just went on the Comet. Oh. But you understand that, you know, we need to, what happens in us is that builds a sensitivity in us. And, you know, it's the same way over with, see, we don't spend much time with God. And when you get over, you start to spend a lot of time with God. God wants to take you to things, and you need to come over where you're spending time, where you get a little bit thrilled about being over there some, and getting thrilled, and you'll want more of a thrill, and go over there further, but people don't. But we'll spend all the time concerning our flesh to have more and more thrills with our flesh. You know, it's like today, you know, most absurd things. I mean, who needs to be driving around in a car on the street with 500 horsepower? But I'm serious. I mean, you think about it. You can't even drive. There's cars with 350 horsepower that'll turn around and you can't even hardly drive that on the street. There ain't no place to drive it. It'll blow the doors off everything. And it isn't who has the most horsepower. You know, there's a lot of things that are in there and gearing and everything else had to do with what a car can do. But we have the idea. And you know, we have to have more and we got to have more and more and more. But what's an importance to have more? We've learned the things about having more concerning our flesh. When I came into the kingdom and we started off, we wanted more of God. And we would go to service after service after service after service. When I came into the kingdom, Mike could say himself, I was in more services and went to more things because I was after God. I wanted to fellowship with God. I was going to do everything that I could to get after God, and you're going to chase after God, and you're going after this thing. And we would just go because we were afraid we were going to miss something. Today, people are afraid they're going to miss something in the flesh if they go to church. That's why they don't go to church, because everything else is more important than going to church. See, I was born and raised among people. It was nothing more important for my parents than to go into church. And when the doors were open, they were there. It was important to them. Because I'll tell you what, it's like today, people get sick. Boy, man, I want to get better right away, God. But God is the last guy on the list when they got all their stuff. God's the last guy on the list. We have to need to understand it. We have to break this kind of thing. Whether this is one thing. If you want a move of God, we're going to have to do more than we're doing. I'm just telling you. We can't have it with the American culture. We're going to have to change the culture. Church isn't important anymore. We can take it or leave it. You know, we put all of our messages on the online. You can stay home and listen to all them you want. And until you get together and you fellowship with the body, ain't going to do a lot for you on it. This is not something so you can sit at home and you're going to be all right without. That ain't what it's for. And it won't work. Because it's going to require you to get with the body of Christ, to sit down and take your time where you can't just get up and walk over the refrigerator and get you something to drink and get you this and get you that while you're playing like you're some, doing something spiritual. You see, church, you know, church was really important to us. Going to meetings was hugely important to us. It was hugely important to be there. There's anointings you will never get in your life without being in the presence where that anointing is. You can't get it watching television. You won't get it doing the radio. You won't get it listening to CDs and DVDs. You're going to have to be there at the meeting. It will not. It will not. Do you think it's changed since Elijah and Elisha? Do you think Elijah just said, yeah, Elisha, hey, I'll tell you what, I'll sleep in this morning. You go, I'll get the anointing. Just send me a tape. Give me the CD. You know, do the video of the that their little chariot ripping by there. You know, do the video on that, and then go ahead, drop your cloak, just leave it at the door before you go. And we'll just, that's the church today. That's Christianity today. And we want a move of God. I'm going to tell you this. He woke me up at 4:00 in the morning, so you're going to have to sit and listen to this. Whether you like it or not. I got to listen to it. He tells me. Folks, I got to hear it first. See, I repent. I just, God, forgive me. But see, we want things without doing the things that are necessary. As you folks have heard me talk about, in the Lord, you know, dealing with these things about church. And years ago, when I was a kid, the farmers and stuff never missed the services. They were there. They would have revival meetings. And there's revival meetings, you know, during the wintertime, they'd have the revivals at the churches and that stuff. And every one of the churches within the group, they had like 2-week revivals. But then sometimes they went longer because God would move and do things and people got saved and stuff. So they'd have them longer and you would go and it was every night. And all the farmers were there. Nobody wasn't there. I mean, people were dedicated to be there. You can't get, we don't have that dedication today. We have none of that today. We don't have that kind of dedication. Man, we were dedicated to getting to the meetings. We drop everything trying to figure out how we could get to the meeting. That's just how it's done today, you know? We need to understand there's a thing that we have, and this is dealing with the areas of fellowship with God. Because, see, we wanted to be around where God was moving, and because in those meetings, we learned how God operated and how He worked. There's a lot that I learned. Back in 1983, the Lord sent me to camp meeting out of Tulsa and sent me there at Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting. And that year, Oral Roberts was one of the ministers there. Oral Roberts, T.L. Osborne was one of them and that stuff. But I remember, especially with those older, the older guys that they had ministering there between Brother Hagin and those guys, because those guys went through the healing revivals of the 1950s. And the Lord said to me, He said, you go to that meeting. He said, I want you to sit and watch those men of what happens when the anointing comes onto them. I want you to watch how they minister under the anointing, what they do. How they talk. You know, I'd never had anybody ever tell me that kind of stuff. You know, they just say, read the word about the anointing. And he said, no, you go watch these guys. And I started seeing certain things by watching them and how they ministered and when the anointing come on them, you know, what they would do. And I thought, man, I never saw this stuff before. I never realized, you know. But God wanted to pick it because I found that there was characteristics that they had when the anointing came on them. So I understood sometimes what was happening to me when the anointing came on me. Oh, this is God trying to wake up the space cadet. Well, the space cadet woke up some. Sometimes he still has to do some things to get the space cadet to wake up, but he wakes up faster than most of you. So don't look at me like, oh, that poor dumb guy. But see, being around them, being in those meetings and seeing and knowing that anointing, see, I learned in those meetings, I learned to sense when the anointing was starting to move. Most people have no clue. Most people sit in a meeting and don't have any clue what's going to happen and what's going on. See, we talk about tongues and interpretation. There is a gift in operation of interpretation, of interpreting the move of the Spirit in a meeting. Knowing how to interpret the move of the Spirit in a meeting on the way it's going. That isn't just for, it's good minister, whoever's in charge ought to be operating it. That'd be a good thing. That would definitely be on the top. But you need to know that you can learn to operate and you can learn to know the move in a meeting in the direction it's gone. See, I learned, this is what I learned about fellowship. The Lord said to me to stay close to Kenneth Hagin. Said, stay close to his ministry, stay close to his teaching, and I would go to his meetings. And you know, going to his meetings, staying close, see, there was a fellowship going on in that meetings. Him and I weren't hanging out with each other, but there was a fellowship in that anointing. See, my whole thing was to hook up. I wanted to hook up with that anointing that was in him. Because see, I knew God called me. The anointing that operates on me today, it came from him. Is the anointing that's on me. See, and I recognize, you know, I understood that. When I started really understanding what was going on with him, I started understanding what was going on in me. I started, oh my word, this has been going on in me. That's what's going on in him. And it's going. And I'd go sit in his meetings, and I could tell when the healing anointing would come on him, and he's going to start to minister healing. I could tell when that anointing would come. Why? Because I'm hooked to the same anointing. I might have a different call, but we're hooked to the same anointing. And so I could pick that up. I could tell he's going to prophesy. I could all of a sudden tell. Sometimes, and see the thing you had to learn to do. Sometimes I could have stood up and prophesied exactly what he said. But you know what? It wasn't for me to say. See, you need to learn to know that. See, there's lots of things. You don't know, never know without fellowship and spending a lot of time around things, close to things. You know, is one of the things, as we know, like Full Gospel Businessmen, was a really good thing for me as a young Christian, getting around those, because we had some of the guys they knew more about at that time, and I learned then, being around them, you learn some things of the move of the Spirit, but you get around those. The fellowship of the anointing in those meetings really helped me a whole lot. Most people, most of the Christians that came to the meeting, the Christians came, was to eat. And they'd sit and complain. We'd have them at the fire hall out here, the Friendship Fire Hall. And they would have these, you know, serve the food on the table and, you know, come down and somebody, this one guy was eating all the filling and we didn't get much of it. I wasn't there for the filling anyhow. If they didn't have a meal, I could have cared less. But the Christians, I didn't get my money's worth tonight. You know, you didn't die tonight and go to hell. You're lucky. You got your money's worth, idiot. That was what's important. But see, you still, there was a difference in the people. There were people who were there for a move of God, and there was Christians there who weren't. They were there for this show. They wanted to see what God was going to do. See, from the time I was a young Christian, I'm not a good spectator. I'm not a good spectator. Most Christians are spectators. It's like going to a football game or a baseball game or going to something. That's what it is for. They're watching what somebody else is going to do. I never was big on that. Yes, I was always on the thing. I want to be on the team playing. I want to be on the team. I don't want to be sitting on the side. We're watching from the stadium. Go ahead. If you want to do that, die and go to heaven. That's what they're doing. They're looking down over here on the earth right now. They're down here. That's that great cloud that's, they aren't working down here, and they're watching the people working. And there's only about 12 of us working down here. And the rest and the rest are all playing church. It's working. It's deciding these things. Fellowship with God, and I understand what the difference was. And I like the Lord dealing with me. That what changed my life was my fellowship with God. It's why I didn't want to be a spectator, because He's not. And I have His nature. I have His nature. And my nature ain't to be a pew holder. That ain't my nature. It's not. I mean, I just, it's to me, I can't even see the point of even going to church if that's what you're going to do. I can't even see the point of being there. I have no clue what it is. You know, it's just like, you know, when I really liked attending Randy Greer's meetings. And I go to his meetings and I go sit there. And I'm not just a pew holder. I'm going to tell you what. I'm in faith and pulling on that thing. I'm a help to making that thing work. I can flow with the anointing that's going on in there. I can move with that thing. You see, I understand why they did it, you know, but when back in when the charismatic move started, you know, they had a lot of different things they did. And one of the truths, they'd say, did you come to receive? And people would say, yeah, we came to receive. Well, I used to always think about it this way. They used to go, yeah, come to receive. And I used to think, well, what? They weren't no more in faith, and usually that statement was never even about faith. You come to receive, yeah. What they were coming to see what they could get. There wasn't no faith about it because they had no idea what was going to go on there or what was happening. They didn't know people didn't know how to hook into what was going on. Let me just say this, and you'll get around. Every one of you have had this already. Did you ever get around somebody and you're moving in a direction to do something and you have a person who's wanting to do something else other than what you're trying to do? You ever around that? And you just sort of want to take them out and choke them and say, don't that idiot, can't they see what's going on? Can't they see what's happening, what we're trying to do here? And they're just keep get distracted, want to go do something there. Oh, yeah, this, that, yeah, there. That's the church. People come to church not hooked up with God, with the Holy Ghost. As many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Instead of flowing, see, when I come to church, my whole thing is this. God, what do you want to do here? I don't go dragging my agenda to church. I don't drag my agenda to church. I might have good ideas and good thoughts about stuff, and I might have a good... You know, I had some good notes this morning. I'll show them to you if you want to see them. They're nice. They're Bible and everything, you know? But she got, what does the Spirit want to do? And that's why knowing the flow of what's going on is so important, that you understand the flow, that you're pulling in the direction that God wants to move. Because many times, I learned this, young Christian Kenneth Hagin, I started because I wanted to become sensitive to things around, and I wanted to get sensitive to God. I wanted to get in fellowship. And Kenneth Hagin says, sometimes, you know, God wants to do some things and he just can't. He said, people keep pulling in a different direction. They want something else. And he said, they'll pull. And he said, the anointing just lifts off of me and I can't minister like God wants me to. He said, many times people don't get healed in meetings because, he said, the people get pulling in their direction of what they want. And he said, the healing anointing will just lift off of me. But see, we've been taught, are you here to receive? Like, you just pick whatever you wanted to receive, and it's just going to happen. This is what I found out about myself. I didn't even know what I needed. Lots of times, I didn't have a clue. What I thought I needed wasn't what I thought I needed. You know, you go out here and somebody's poor, and they think they need money. But if they don't learn how to deal with money, they're going to stay poor. So their major need is not money. I mean, we know this from our welfare system. Is money and things and food the needs of these people? No, it's not. That's not their major need. Because you give them as much money and keep giving it to them, and what happens? They're still poor, living in public housing, and still there 20 years later, still doing the same thing. Why? Because that's not their major need. And so I found out this in my life. God, what on earth do I need? Sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I think I know things, but there's a lot that I don't see. And so we're getting over. This is why it's fellowship with God. You get to know Him. Get to know what He's like. You'll begin to know how He thinks. That's one thing that's been very helpful for me. I've said this before, and there's no bragging in it. It's just knowing God. It's just like you do with anybody else. There's things that I know, if certain things that happen, I could tell you exactly what Wanda's going to do. I know exactly what she'd do if a certain thing happened. I could tell you just straight out. This is what she hears that. This is what she's going to do. I know it. Why? Been fellowship with her long enough. We've been together long enough. I know what she'll do. And she could do the same concerning me. Well, it's God's the same way. You can get to know in fellowship with God where you're at the point you know exactly what God will do with the situation. If you ask and say something about it, what He'd do. See, what most Christians are taught this. He's God, you baby. You crawl on daddy's lap and go, goo goo da da, boo boo da da da, boo ga 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 ga, please help me. Daddy, give me this, give me that. That's the relationship most people have. The average Christian will live and die in that condition. We don't see it as that condition. We'll even say around, they're nice and a good Christian, but we don't know in God's eyes, they're big babies. They're big babies. They don't commune with God. They don't fellowship with God. They don't know what He thinks at all. They're just doing everything they can, trying to get something nice from Him, and He wants to bless them. It's like, I remember years ago, the Lord said to me, I want to heal my people a lot more than they even want it. He said, if they wanted healed as much as I wanted to give it to them, there wouldn't be near much a problem. Most people don't want healed bad enough because they won't fellowship with enough with God to get healed. They just want to make a confession. Oh, yeah. I just want to make confession and just get it. Ain't coming that way. Fellowship's part of this. You know, Jesus didn't do this stuff and this reminder for us up here so we can just do what we want. It's called communion. We ought to change it, I guess, the name to fellowship. We're having fellowship. This is a reminder of fellowship. Because you know what? Maybe we need reminders more often to fellowship. It is easy not to. It is too easy not to fellowship with God. It's too easy to do. You know, raise your hand. Guilty as charged. You might as well say, yeah, Lord, forgive me. You know. We're all, you know, I think the Lord talked to me this morning. I thought, here Jesus is. Now has to wake me up with a knock, knock at the door. I know this. He woke me up this morning because I was busy this week. I was busy. Stuff got to get done, man. You know, we're going away and I got to get this stuff done. Yeah, it does. And then you get good and tired doing all your stuff. And then you're tired. And then when you do pray, your mind's away from it. Your mind's going, why don't we go to sleep now? Hey, I just pray in tongues till I fall asleep. You got to get like Jerry Savelle. Go stand on the edge of the tub. Well, that's what we're doing this morning. We're standing on the edge of the tub. But this is about fellowship, spending time, fellowshipping, talking with the Lord, sitting down. You know, we don't do enough. That the Holy Spirit's in us. We don't do enough talking to the Holy Spirit that's in us. I'm not talking about praying and asking for something. Sometimes, you can ask for things, but is talking to Him, looking for information about Him. The Holy Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit's a person of the Godhead. He's not a thing. He's not some vapor. He's not some, you know, woo thing out there. The Holy Ghost is a person. He has a voice and He talks. And I know when He talks to me, He talks to me. And see, you know, and you start treating Him. See, if God is not a person to you, then you're not going to spend hardly any time in fellowship with. You're going to read the history book. The book was given to me so I could personally fellowship with Him. The revelation of the book is so you can talk to Him. People usually say, we need a personal relationship. Yes, we're supposed to have a personal relationship. As I've said this before, most everybody I've ever heard say that term never has a personal relationship with God. They think they read the book. Folks, there's people who read this book every year, never even get saved. My words, I mean, I think, is it the Methodist or the Lutheran have the confession, the Apostles' Creed, they confess? Well, if any of them ever heard it, they'd have got born again. But they stand up and make that confession, the Apostles' Creed, and it means nothing to them. You wouldn't quote the Apostles' Creed and then turn around and say, oh, let's have homosexual ministers. It'd never take place. But see, there's one thing. They don't know God. And see, over time, it began to happen. I saw it start to happen into the 90s. I started the churches and the ministers started getting away from fellowship with God. They wanted churches. They wanted all this stuff and bringing all the things in. They want to bring the entertainment. So what you do is you come to the church to have your entertainment. So this is what the churches are going to do. We're going to have the playgrounds for the kids. We're going to do all the stuff. And we're going to put all that in so you don't have to go out there in the world and you won't have to touch anything out there. That was PTL's demise. The devil got them doing that stuff. We're going to build communities where you can live and you got all Christians. Yeah, you can all live around each other and sit around and don't have to have any evil person be around you. Anything that would touch your life, make you uncomfortable. God never ordains any of that. There is no city or place that has ever tried to do that, that it's ever worked or lasted in history, in the church history. It never works and it never will. God didn't call you to live in a Christian community. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. What? To be a witness for Jesus. Oh, let's just witness to each other. Mike, isn't Jesus good? Isn't He wonderful? Man, am I meddling this morning or what? I'll tell you what, we're just getting right down into it. No, I remember, I began to look at that study. Kenneth Hagin said this, any city other than the city of God that we're looking for in heaven, the church is not looking for any other city, and man builds any other city on this earth and tries to build a God city, it will fail. And I started looking back at history. He's exactly right. They all fail. Every one of them. We want to have this place. Oh, we want to have a Christian amusement park. Yeah, because you'd have to go to Hershey and listen to somebody cuss. And your poor little ears. Oh, my God, you little delicate thing. You heard. They use the Lord's name in vain. I've had Christians say that to me, and I think, I'm going to cast the devil out of you any minute now, God don't hate them because they do it. What's your problem? What you do is you act right among them. You walk right among them. And if you got an anointing, it might keep them from cussing around you so much. But when you ain't got no anointing on you and in your life and you've had no fellowship with God, the devil rules and reigns. Oh, yeah. The church only knows natural influence. That's all they know because that's all it's been taught. Because we have the carnal church. We have the seeker-friendly church. It's all about taking care of all the natural things and the fleshly things. And we've left the spiritual. And we've had it. Back in the 80s and in the 90s, we had it. We had the spiritual. And we were the church was a huge influence on the nation. What is it now? Now we got all the leisure Christianity. You can just watch it on television anytime you want to. Go online, listen to a thing and say, feel good about ourselves and I'm spiritual and I'm just really, oh my, I'm just wonderful. Does God move? No, we're no. There's a no. You know, it's because all these other bad people around. We had as many bad people back then. But I'll tell you what, we had influence. It was number one, it was a fellowship with God. We wanted to spend time with God. We wanted to. We desired for that. And we must come back to that. We got to come back. You have to want that. One of the things, you will never get a craving for anything. It's like food. You never get craving for food that you don't eat. You know how cravings are built? It's by eating stuff. You want a craving for something? You eat it and really get to like it, and eat it and really get to like it. Then after a while, you'll crave for that thing. But if you never eat it, this is one thing about it, in fasting. You fast long enough, and after a while, you won't even crave food. You won't even crave it. I know people went on long fasts and that stuff. They had to force themselves to eat. They didn't want to eat. That's what happens with Christians. They stay away from the Word and stay away from the Word. They don't even want it after a while. They don't want the fellowship with God. They don't want none of it. They've been away from it so long, they don't have a craving. How I got a craving for it was going to those meetings and going to that stuff all the time. And it built a craving on me to want that again and want that again and want that again. Kenneth Hagin said, it gets like a drug. You get addicted. Nobody's addicted to drugs they don't take. Are they? I'm addicted to heroin. How could you get addicted? I don't know. I never took it. I just have a natural, you know, it's in my genes. You know, it's in my genes. That's right. My legs are in my genes. I'm just, God, these morons. And the Christians have done bought this stuff and they publicize it. It's genetic now. Sin's genetic. Did you know that? I must have all the sin genes because I wanted to sin. I must have had every one of them because I was doing them all. Did you guys have any of them? I was on the top of the list, man, doing those things. So I had it all in my genes. That was my fleshly nature. See, if you start to go after it and start to go, you're going to want it more. The more you eat after it, the more you touch into things, you're going to turn around and want more. We need to come to fellowship with God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. I'll quit meddling here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because we're going to share communion this morning. And it's not to criticize, but we have to come back to things. You understand this about what we're dealing with today. We're dealing with a spiritual nature in the church that is in opposition 100% to the direction we desire to go. And it's in the church. It's not just the world, it's in the church. You know, you can just take a little bit of God today and see you can have, they convince people. You can just come and take a little bit of God and you can have a lot. You can tell them just, you know, God is so loving that you can just, you know, just give a little bit of yourself and he'll just give you everything. No, he won't. It doesn't operate that way. It doesn't work that way. It's one of the things as you get to know God. Is that, you know, I've told the story about when I was out in Bible school in Oklahoma, when the Lord spoke to me one day and said, I wanted me to come out to this reservoir. He said, I want to talk to you. And when I went out there for 20 minutes, and it was the Holy Spirit, and I knew it was the Holy Spirit, for about 20 minutes or maybe a little longer, the Holy Spirit just talked with me, just like I was having a conversation. You know, yesterday we guys were eating and having a conversation. He just talked to me. I'd ask him a question. He'd just answer me right back. He would tell me things. But there's one thing as I found out about the Holy Spirit. If you don't have respect for Jesus, you're going to have a hard time getting the Holy Spirit to do things for you. And I'm not talking about, oh, these people, yes, yes, oh, we honor Jesus. Well, if you don't fellowship with him, no, you don't. He's your Lord. He should be on the top of your list. I'm guilty of not always having him on the top of the list. Are you? I've done too many things on my opinion and on the opinions of others. And never, this is the bad part. It wasn't that opinions of others or myself wasn't good, but I never even bothered to ask him. Say, oh Lord, what am I doing? What, you know? I mean, think about it. We don't even bother to ask him. Seems good to do, you know? We make plans and things to do, and we never even ask the Lord. You know, we make plans and sit down to do stuff and never stop and say to the Lord, Lord, is it all right if we make plans to do that? Or maybe during that time, you might want me to do something else. But I have set my time up for what I want to do. This would be convenient for me to go do this now. And stop and say, hey, Lord, is that all right? See, this is all part of fellowship and communion. See, we're taking this communion, we're saying that he holds this certain position and we're in a certain position because of what he did. And yet, the whole thing is to point us to fellowship with him. It's not to just, well, yeah, I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ. Jesus died for my sin. See you guys, I'm going to be leaving now. I got things to do, places to go, people to meet. Hey, I'll tell you, I just... You've been there, done that, haven't you? I'll tell you what. Hey, we've all done that. We've all done that. But I want to wake up. You know, I don't want Jesus to knock me tomorrow again. I don't want to be the Laodicean church. I'm sorry. I don't want Jesus standing at the door. I'd like to come in, Ed, you idiot. What are you doing? But you know, he woke me up. You know, he's pretty kind because, see, I told him, I said, if you want in the pulpit, I'll let you speak. I'll let you do things. I'll move over and let you in. So he took me up on it. Oh, my words, Lord. Oh, my words. Anyhow, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hey, go ahead down and bring the kids up, and the kids are going to come up for communion. Hallelujah. But this morning, what we're doing is fellowship. God's not mad at us. Dear Lord, there's people today, and most of the churches in this town, they're just having ice cream sundaes. That's all they get to eat. I mean, they just got their, they go to church, get their sugar high, and, you know, just eating whatever it is to make them feel good. They go out the door, say it's great, and then the car will run over them. And it's just, you know, God's killing me for a reason, and God's running over me, and God shot my kid for a reason, and God did this for a reason. Yes, now, you know, I broke my leg for a reason. You know, God wanted to slow me down, you know. God, yeah. Okay. And I've had a lot of problems. Pray for me, but you never know what God wants to do. Say, why would I pray for you? If we don't know what God wants you to do, maybe he wants you to stay in this miserable condition. So I'm going to pray that you stay in this bad position for the next 12 years. Oh, dear Lord, drop a brick on their head. But see, we want to fellowship with God. And that's what we want to do. And God wants us to fellowship. He wants to know you. It's like you heard me say, Kenneth Hagin said he knows Jesus. He said, I know Jesus better than my wife who lays in the bed beside me. I want it to be said that I know Jesus better than my wife who lays in the bed beside me. See, we want to come that, you know, we have, and I realize people talk about all being in the presence of God and all those things. A lot about being in the presence of God and all that comes from fellowshipping with God. And if you don't, even the presence of God can come and you don't really recognize what's going on because you don't recognize what he does and what he's doing. There was a pastor, I'm in a church, and the pastor, the healing anointing would come on him, but he would never take the time to learn about things of the Spirit. And he would... The healing anointing come on, he wouldn't even recognize. I told him one day, I said, you got the healing anointing comes on you, you don't do nothing with it. Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, and I thought, and he ain't even trying to find out what to do. You see, many times God's moving on us sometimes with things, and we don't even know it. That's why, you know, I found out things like this, and, you know, over time, because you're going to have to educate yourself about things. I found out over time, you know, that in learning things and I thinking, you know, God was trying to move in me in this certain way. Now I know what it is. I can yield to it. But for a long time, I didn't realize what it was. I was wondering, you know, I wasn't catching it. And I wasn't asking any questions about it either. And finally, you know, knock, knock. Wake up, Ed. Yes, sir. And we're in a time we're like it. We're operating out of ignorance. We don't know. But we need to know. We need to stop and ask questions. We need to fellowship with God. I want to know how he works and what he does. Number one, I want him to be able to trust me with what he has. And let me just say this to you. I will guarantee you this. There's things, the more that you fellowship with God and know about him, that you won't even have to pray and ask him to do. He'll let you do it. He'll let you do it. Why? He'll learn to trust you. See, you know what? Why? You would do exactly what he wanted because you know what he'd do in a situation. And he'll just, yeah, you go right ahead. I've had that happen on a number of occasions. You know exactly how he operates in a situation. He'll say, you know what to do. You just go ahead and do it. See, you want to go there. I sure want to be able to do that a whole lot more than what I've ever done it. There are people in ministry, I know this from reading after Smith's Wigglesworth and different ones, those guys operate in those areas a lot. Where they, God allowed them to do all kinds of things that they did. Knowing God and how he operated through them, through their ministry, they would go do things. Kenneth Hagin used to do it. Kenneth Hagin would go do things because he knew how God operated through him and what God would do. He'd just go ahead and do it, and God would snap, just like a snap, it'd take place, it'd happen. I ain't arrived there yet, as much as they guys have. But we can go there. It's a place that we can go. It isn't just for ministers. We can go there. Hallelujah. There are people who have never been in the ministry who know the move of God. And I'll tell you, God uses them to do things and stuff goes on. My God. It's because they know God. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you this morning. Lord God, again, for being so patient. And Lord, for surely being patient with me, I want to thank you. Lord God, oh my, 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 my. Lord, thank you for knock-knocking me this morning. I'm just glad you didn't do it on my head. You're kind to me. But I want to thank you for being so kind to me. Lord God, you're calling us to something much closer to you. Lord God, I can tell within you there's such a desire in you to be close to your people, to be in the thoughts of their lives. Lord God, that your mind, oh, would flow into their mind. Hallelujah. That it wouldn't be what the scripture said concerning Israel. Well, they didn't walk with you, and the word says, my thoughts aren't your thoughts, and my ways aren't your ways. And Lord God, we have been guilty of that, the church in this age and time. We gave up your thoughts. There's many of your thoughts you gave us in times past. And the church now doesn't walk in those wonderful thoughts. And Lord God, we've raised up our own ministries and of our own stuff. And Lord God, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, for not honoring the great revelations that you gave the church, that you poured out in. And Lord God, ministers have left them. And Lord God, I ask you to have mercy on us. Have mercy on the church for not walking in the lights of the truth, Lord God, because there's many today that are way off base, Lord God. And Lord God, we ask you to help them. You were patient with us. You're patient with dealing with us, Lord God. You love us, and you surely love them. And Lord God, we ask you again, Lord God, knock, knock to them. Wake them up, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, bring back those revelations of the past. Bring those fresh revelations back once more. Lord God, there's things that have been left slipped, even among us. There's things that have been left slipped. Bring them back to us again, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord, those things of simple revelations we've gotten away from, but they are so profound, Lord God, that we would walk in that glory. Lord God, I pray for a hunger and burning in us. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, I don't want a candle burning in me. I want a raging inferno. I want burning in me, Lord God, that would burn up anything, hallelujah, other than what your glory and your glory can't be burned up and your things can't be burned up and destroyed. But anything in me that ain't, let's burn it up. Let's get it out of there, Lord God, so your glory comes. Hallelujah. That's what we want. Lord God, we want a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. We want a hunger and thirst for what's righteous and for what's good. We want a hunger and thirst because you said if we had that hunger, we have that thirst, we would be filled. Hallelujah. And Lord God, our great desires for your power. And you, oh yeah, yeah, I know. You desire to pour out your power more than we want it. Hallelujah. Yeah, I know. You're right, Lord. You want to pour it out. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we're going to let you do it too. We're going to let you pour it out. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, lead us. Lead us into this fellowship. Holy Ghost, we need your help. Holy Spirit, we don't do these things on our own. Holy Spirit, I ask you, Holy Spirit, just kindly direct us and lead us and empower us in this thing. We need help. We need help in coming into fellowship. Holy Spirit, I know from things that you dealt with me in the past. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to forgive us because when we don't show the respect to our Lord like we should, you stay silent and don't talk to us. And you forgive us because we need you talking to us. We need you revealing things to us. We need you showing things. And we said ourselves, Jesus, forgive us for not letting you lord over us like we should have. Forgive us, Jesus. You deserve to be able to lord over us completely. And I thank you, Lord God. Lord, we didn't want to be, we weren't being willfully disobedient and willful, Lord God. We were just being stupid. That's what it was. We were just being stupid, not following after things we know in us. And Lord God, I want to thank you for forgiving us. Forgiving us, Lord God. Lord God, we're taking our seat again in heavenly places. Lord God, this earthly seat has done nothing but wear out our pants. That's all it's done. It hasn't done nothing for us. And Lord Jesus, we take our seat in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We take our seat as the church of Jesus Christ. And as we approach these items, Lord God, of communion that Jesus, you said we were supposed to, this thing of fellowship. I want to thank you, Lord God, restoring our fellowship again today in the name of Jesus. Lord God, back to the one, hallelujah. You're Lord, and we're your subjects, and we love you, hallelujah. And you're revealing yourself to us. Lord Jesus, you're getting personal with us. Hallelujah. Personally revealing yourself, personally talking to us, personally, Lord God. Lord God, a one-on-one relationship that we have with you, Lord God, hallelujah, that every day, Lord God, we want to walk every day, Lord God, aware of your presence, aware of you being with us, aware of it, Lord God, of what is really going on inside of us. Lord God, we want to be more inside-minded than outside-minded. Hallelujah. Forgive us. We've been really outside-minded. Lord God, I confess. Too many things I was outside-minded on. Hallelujah. But I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for awakening us in the name of Jesus. And so we thank you, Lord God, because when we leave this place today, Lord God, we're stepping higher. We're stepping higher. We're stepping closer. Our fellowship. Lord God, you don't have say things. You don't have me say things to put them down. You have me say things to take them up to another place, and they'll come up to that place, and they'll walk in that place, and they'll live in that place. Hallelujah. And Lord God, hallelujah. Oh, till the exciting day is going to come when we're going to know Jesus just as he knows us. Hallelujah. We're going to see him face to face. Hallelujah. But Lord God, there is going to be a lot changed till that happens. In us. In Jesus' name, amen.